outsiders only. This is Sky Terror.
You thought you could get rid of us, and yet you were wrong. We are around you forever and ever. It is episode number 63, after the break, ladies and gentlemen, of the Sky Terror podcast for the fans, of the fans, by the fans, outsiders only. I am the commander reporting again for the latest tour of duty, and joining me is the peanut butter to the jelly, the vino to the schnitzel, the... All right, I'm done. Zergal, how's it going?
Hello there. I'm fine. Thanks. I'm fine, thanks. And I'm happy to be back here, actually, on the podcast. And finally, being able to talk about our most favorite topics, SkyTear.
My favorite topics are money and food.
And cherry on top of, the cake.
So, cherry danishes. A light puff pastry, generally made of sweet dough. The problem with a lot of cherry danishes is that people don't put enough of the candied cherries into the actual puff filling. And so you have lots of pastry, not a lot of cherries, very big imbalance, especially whenever they slightly overcook the pastry and it becomes a little bit tougher. Not a fan.
Sounds wonderful and awful at the same time. And I think we are just slightly a bit off topic, as always.
You mentioned cherries and I was talking about food. I fail to see how anything went wrong here.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to give maybe, let's say, some sort of picture that brings some certain picture into the listeners' minds.
Me too. That's why I was describing the ideal cherry Danish.
Okay, can't wait to taste it.
Also, since we said that we would dedicate exactly 1 second to this, Ryan has left the podcast in order to do poll. Great. There we go. That was exactly 1 second. And so now we can move on to it.
That was a pretty short one. So you finally got what you wanted, RG. But nevertheless, thanks, Ryan, for helping us here, for being with us all the time.
Ryan and never had us here. Having... Ryan was always late.
Yeah, that's true. But we still had some fun.
We had him here, though.
Yeah, we had him. And that's right. It was pretty funny, and we had a lot of deep discussions as well, I think. Maybe they were before the podcast started, but...
I don't think anything that before any of these recordings could be qualified as deep.
Yeah, it was deep. Yeah, yes, it was truly deep.
It was an experience, to be sure, but I'm not sure if it would qualify as deep.
There are people that say so, others that...
They're lying.
Think, yeah. So, yeah. Thanks, Ryan, Kirito. Yep. We hope we can have you one day back as a guest here on
Please
the show.
Please don't lie to him.
No, I'm honest.
I'm not. Honest. In the meantime, Ryan, good luck. Hope you win the tournaments. And we will be billing you for your overdue payments from your winnings.
Yes. Yeah, you're talking about the pool tournaments, right?
Correct, yes.
So, yeah, good luck on that one. Yes, hope you make the championships there.
All right, that's way more than a lot of time we were going to give Ryan. Moving on from him.
It was a minute.
It was way more than we should have allotted to him. All right, so we're going to catch up on a few of the recent events. Many of you may remember back in February now. Yikes. We're here recording this at the start of May. But... Drowsword, one of our members in the Discord, did host an in-person tournament down at Saga Games in Frederick, Maryland. I was able to join for the live cast of a couple of those games. The particularly interesting part of these games to me, not the fact that they were live, but the fact that we actually unbanned the banned cards for this particular tournament due to the fact that it was a very starter-friendly core box based tournament, which means that we got to see how grapple works.
Nice.
And we got an on-camera illustration of why grapple is banned. It was pretty dirty.
Awesome.
So we wanted to have Drowsword on the show, but unfortunately due to personal and family commitments, he was not able to join us, but he did leave us with a couple notes that he would like us to share. And so this is what he had to say and would like me to, and Jergal, of course, to relay his appreciation and gratitude. And potentially once the summer season dies down, perhaps later on in the fall and the winter when things are not so hectic for he and his family, then perhaps we will be able to have him join us at that time. But he did want to thank Saga Games for buying into the inventory, holding the time slot for them, and constantly advertising the potential opportunities of the game. The Skytear products were set up right next to the Magic the Gathering sets, which is definitely where you want your products to be. Obviously, a lot of local game stores focus in on whether, you know, necessarily tabletop or cards, but Magic is usually huge, along with Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Warhammer. A lot of people play Star Wars or X-Wing. Yeah. So having the Skytear there. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Flesh and Blood, I think, is
Flesh and Blood is another one
of the newer games. Yeah,
yeah. So having the Skytear next to kind of the flagship products, as opposed to just another box on the shelf of random games, and having it sandwiched in between Scythe and something else that starts with S and has an M. Like, you know, I can't think of any game. Maybe Smash the Hippo or whatever.
Okay.
Secondly, he would also like to state that he finds the game much better in person. If it is safe to do so, go out, play it at a local store, a pub or park. A lot of tactile elements. A lot of the first-time individual players, and even the people that just kind of moseyed over to see what others were playing, complimented the design and the detail of the miniatures. And whenever someone has purchased one of the new sets, a lot of the people were circling around to see how the minis looked, kind of experience all of the fine details of them, and after that proceed to check out the cards that come with it.
Nice.
And which I agree with. Some of the minis are really, really nice.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. So the entire game design is wonderful, and I had those experiences as well. Yeah. I can definitely put my signature under that statement as well. Totally.
Third thing he wanted to mention, that whenever you're trying to get a game started at the store, it is really helpful if a dedicated Skytear fan is happy to supply the starter box to the community. He's had multiple players build up their team buying just the expansions, knowing they were able to play on Drawsword's copy of the map, which helped lower the cost of entry and allowed the other players to see a wider variety of decks. So this one I definitely do want to talk about. We were talking a little bit about this before the start of the show.
Yes.
And one of the things that I feel is becoming an issue is Skytear is approaching its fourth year in production. And, you know, it came out late 19, I think it was the Kickstarter shipments.
Yeah, Kickstarter. I think official launch was February 2020.
Okay, very good. Okay, so,
It's 2 years now, so we're going into year number three, actually.
Okay, so yeah, so we have a little bit more time than I thought we did initially.
Yes.
But nevertheless, one of the issues that I have seen a lot is veterans are finding that there's not as much current content. Meaning, in other words, our last release, the Unbound, or the Unforgotten, rather.
Unforgotten,
those came out back in the fall, and we're not going to get to see the next set of new heroes until August. So it's been about 10, 11 months since we've had new gameplay elements added. We've had the new map, and that's great and all, but the problem is as we've kind of seen from our small sample size, a lot of the heroes that were very prevalent in Tulane and Ashen Pass, namely Doomies and Kohai, are also wild on the Embassy Ruins map, because the Embassy Ruins map, you want control and positional manipulation. Guess who happens to do that very well?
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Yes. And so not having the counter elements, as I'll call them, since we haven't started spilling spoilers for the new set yet, not having those abilities to combat Doomies and Kohais and the other tricks and whatnot that are present, speak for everyone, of course, but I know that a number of people are just saying, you know, there's not a whole lot of new content, and so the game is kind of leveling out. You know, the Embassy Ruins certainly will inject a small amount of novelty and newness and excitement as it's a different setting, but at the end, we still just have the same kinds of heroes to play out. And at the same time, one of the other issues, and this is kind of what I was building off on point three, new individuals are finding the game harder and harder to get into because, as it was a bit, as I was kind of talking to you about before we started recording, there's that idea with the MOBA that I need to have access to all the heroes. And I realized that we've tried to bill it and say, you know, you only need to buy the people that you want, the Nuketon expansion or the Talad expansion or the Kumarumo expansion, whatever heroes you want. But the problem is there's that inherent FOMO, I think, with MOBA-based games where I need to have access to all the tools. Otherwise, I'm cheating myself or I'm making the game more challenging, more restrictive for myself than it needs to be.
Yeah, on the other hand, I mean, it's a bit... Yeah, difficult to compare it with a video game. Mm-hmm. Let's say that's true. I mean, it's a miniatures game. It's a board game. Mm-hmm. You can't put the same restrictions or circumstances equally to both of them. So I still see some differences. Yes, you can have access to all the heroes, for example, in League of Legends, but you need to spend money or a lot of time.
Agreed. Yep.
I mean, you spend a lot of time and then you will own every hero. That's correct. That's obvious. That's okay. Yep. But if you spend, let's say, the same amount of time, you want to, let's say, buy in more into Skytier. I think that might be something, and that was, we were talking about that, maybe some kind of point in the communication. I mean, you can see that through how, for example, the Skytier shop has been built up. So, like, you see the starter, you see a core bundle, you see the buying guide. So, for example, that you have different sets there or different recommendations, depending on the level that you want to enter into the game. But I can see absolutely, for example, if you see games like if I'm looking to my shelf here. For example, I own the first wave of Star Wars Armada, for example. But I only own the first wave because you need to buy all the stuff, all the waves,
right,
to keep on in the competitive game, let's say. So, and it is totally overwhelming if you're now talking about, I don't know, which wave they're in, 3, 4, whatever. And you want to enter as a new player and you see wave 4 and you see like, wow, that's, I don't know, 800 euros.
Yeah.
So that's just having so much options, let's say, to be positive, is overwhelming. Totally. And but we have to remember that... if I'm not mistaken, the plan is to, in some time, I think next year.
Yes, I think it's scheduled change, for 2023.
Yeah, it's the schedule so that we change the cards. So it's going to be a limited game. Let's say it has a limited time. Then it's going to renew through newer cards or maybe new hero constellations or new hero sets. We will see. Skytier Games has to surprise us in that way positively, or renewals of heroes that we actually play, so reworks, let's say. I'm curious how maybe this can help to say or to get newer people addicted to the game without being overwhelming in all the stuff that has been launched until now, right? So we have, how many heroes do we have now? 30, right? Yeah, 30.
Because
it was 24.
The blue yellow one been out, yeah.
Yeah, it was 24 with the core bundle. So starter plus the 4 expansions.
What was the name of the yellow blue one again, Zergal?
Sorry?
What was the name of the yellow blue hero again?
That's going to be released or what?
Yeah.
Yes. So
I was going to see if I could bait that one out of you there. That would have been funny.
That would have been funny, yeah. You're as well in this revision group.
I am, which means I could also say it, but I wasn't going to. I know how to keep a secret. But we are going to, we are, I think, going to start on a serious note, so we're not, you know, just kind of dangling the candy in front of everyone. I do think we are going to start that hopefully soon, because as I do recall, Giacomo did say he wanted to try and get this out for an August release, and it is now the 1st of May here, so 3 months to go until August, which means we probably should be able to start debuting some of the cards of the heroes here shortly.
I hope so. So I think so, yes. I'm going to get into closer contact with him so that...
I would be, let's say, shocked if we don't get stuff rolling here within 2 weeks.
Yeah, with all the cards and so,
Yeah, because 2 weeks would put us at May 15th. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, we're, you know, that's basically... let's assume that it's, you know, like an August 20th release or something like that. That basically gives three full months. We have, I think it's two heroes and 20 power cards.
Is it 20?
I think it's 20. Somewhere. Let's ballpark it. I think Untamed was...
Five Perfection.
Or Unforgotten
not Perfection, but five per color, which is not... Yeah, it's not five.
Entirely. It's not 10, is it? Because these are the red, yellow, and the blue, yellow cards to match up with the red, green, and the blue, green.
Yeah, they have to match up. And they match up. It's the same amount of cards. So we would see the same amount of heroes, minions, and cards as in Unforgotten.
Okay, So we have...
That's the same amount.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7.
Yeah.
10, looks like 10.
10, 10? Yeah, yep, 10 new cards. So
I just counted. Five of each.
It was five blue-green cards and five red-green cards.
Seems like there's a lot more.
We're
correct. I'm just saying it seems like it. Yeah. We're correct because I have the thing, so we're correct. It's going to be 10 new cards, five red, yellow, and then five blue, yellow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to fit.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. We are curious about the reactions of the community when we are going to spoil those cards and heroes. Yeah.
I have special rants saved up for several.
Oh, nice. Nice. Oh, you already did spoil one of the cards, didn't you?
I wouldn't call that a spoil. I gave the number of letters in it, and I said how many mana costs.
Yes, but it was the exact same number of letters that actually one of the new cards is going to have.
Yes, but there's literally a 0% chance that anyone can unscramble.
Yeah, unless you can speak... Klingon.
Gibberish. I don't even know if that was Klingon or that was just straight gibberish.
Nice. So we need someone to detranslate us. Okay. Decode.
Number four. Oh, yeah. We had one more point that Drawsword wanted to mention.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And he wanted the final bit that he had was the old marketing adage of the rule of seven still dominates. Only after months of constantly offering the game do I start to see a steady stream of new player interest. The first six times someone hears about it, they aren't really going to take a night away from home to play, but eventually curiosity or peer pressure will win them over. I would probably agree with this statement. I was talking with you before the show a little bit, and I mentioned, you know, I tried to go to a bunch of our game stores back, you know, probably about a year ago now, or so maybe 8 months, probably around like last summer, whenever things were first easing up here, and no one wanted to try SkyTear. No one wanted to stock it, do a demo night, just because the pandemic was kind of lifting a little bit. Again, we're talking summer of 21 here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were just reestablishing their Magic nights, their Yu-Gi-Oh nights, their Warhammer nights, their Pokemon nights, their Dungeons & Dragons nights. And they weren't really enthusiastic on trying to take on this brand new game because, you know, what if it just becomes another game on the shelf situation? And I've tried again a couple times, but I haven't, you know, necessarily found anyone that's willing to bite the fish. But if you have a store that does not have as much of an aversion as the ones that I have near me, keep trying to pluck away at them. And potentially, maybe eventually someone will give in just to stop you from bugging them about it.
Okay.
And then you can try to make your pitch. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't.
So could you explain to me what is the rule of seven? Because
so the rule of seven,
nothing that I know.
So the rule of seven is a marketing term. And once again, this is a point where I like to plug in and say, I hate marketing people. just in case that was forgotten. But basically, the idea is that in order to convince a client or a customer to buy into your product or your service, whatever the case may be, is they essentially need to be exposed to it seven times.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I need to show you the booklet. I need to talk to you about it. I need to show you the booklet again. I need to talk to you about it again. I need to offer you a chance to play it again. I need to do things seven times before you finally say, okay, RG, shut up. Just show me the game.
Yeah. Shut up and play.
Shut up and play. We'll give it a shot. Now, and again, that's just simply to get the engagement. That does not necessarily guarantee that they're going to be, oh yeah, this is awesome. I want in. Because you might convince someone and they're like, yeah, this is terrible. I'm not interested. But the rule of seven basically says once you pester someone with seven exposures, you will at least get them to give you an audience to give you a chance to make your sales pitch or demonstrate your product or service to them.
Yeah, I'm counting in background and I'm not sure if I hit the seven mark, let's say. So I think it was less.
Oh yeah. No, for some, I mean, so that's okay. That's kind of like a what's the word I want to use? A far end, I guess, that I would say. There that is the case where seven is the point where resistance breaks down. Some people you'll be able to sell instantly. For example, when I saw SkyTerror on the Kickstarter page, I looked at it, they said MOBA board game. I said, great, let's rock and roll, click buy, we're done. When my friend tried to introduce me to Warhammer, he said, hey, I've got an army you can use so you don't have to spend $1,000 to get your minis, which, by the way, speaking of cost with SkyTerror, I bought a tank yesterday for Warhammer that cost $70, which is like the price of an expansion plus. So I will still agree that SkyTerror is good for your money, despite all the other people that say, oh, SkyTerror is expensive as a buy-in. Still not as expensive as Warhammer. Anyways, back to my point. The idea is that for the people that resist the initial exposure, once you've exposed them to it seven times, that's when the internal resistance will just finally sort of wane or collapse. And they'll say, all right, fine. Give me a sales pitch. Give me a demonstration, whatever, you know, whatever is appropriate to what you're trying to get them interested in.
Yeah, then in that situation, I just got lucky, maybe through some connections or someone who could pre-sale, let's say, myself and SkyTerror to one of the shop owners here, one of the local game stores. And finally, after 2 years of waiting, I could actually do a demo event at the local game store here in Cologne. And we even found some new players. I was so amazed and hyped that people generally were interested in the game, and I had some talking to the players that were hanging around in the store. So we had a Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament and a Flesh and Blood tournament going on.
Nice.
More or less at the same time. So one of my kids was participating in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournament and then stayed with me in the store to play some SkyTerror. One of my friends in the community, Uptrex, he visited us in the store with his son. And so the kids could play a little bit. And yeah, we have some new players in the German community here, which I want to welcome as well. So shout out.
Guten Tag.
Yeah, guten Tag. Herzlich willkommen, Gizmo and Canuso, to the SkyTerror universe. And yeah, this is, I mean, it was just amazing that people were hanging around with us, and yeah, I was demoing games for them. I even painted some minis beforehand. Yeah, I was doing, let's say, a demo version that we tried at Spiel last year, and I was using the expansions of Kurumo and Leothan. Because I think it's relatively easy to get into playing with both of them, as you don't have to keep on managing or thinking about where do I place my illusion or pillar token to be able to do X and Y on the next turn. So they are a bit less complicated, I think, to get into the game. And I think it matched pretty good. I handed out some of the Ashen Pass, or not Ashen Pass, the Into Ashes OP kits, fallout cards. So people were quite happy that they got something into hand and sleeved them right away and such stuff. That was pretty awesome.
Nice.
So yeah, I had a nice day there, and if everything goes well, then in 2 weeks I'm going to be again in the store, and therefore I'm trying to build up a local community somewhere, and I'm pretty positive on that one, actually.
Good.
As you said, so as you described beforehand with your local game stores in your area, it's the same feeling that I have here, actually. So they are, or let's say I was welcomed because I held contact to them through over the years, and I was enthusiastic as I was on the first day that we met, let's say, and tried to demo Skytier. So I think that was one of the points that they were saying, okay, let's try it, and maybe people even buy it and so on, and which actually happened. And therefore, we are going to try to set up something like once a month, which is
nice. Yeah, regulars. Actually,
regulars. It's not as often as, let's say, Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh. You have right. Magic at least twice a week. Right. Yu-Gi-Oh the same. In different play styles, they have different events now going on. Like every weekend, there are two different tournaments. And they let me sneak into that and grab one of the tables or two maybe, and I can set up a game, and then people can have a look and I can have a talk, and we see how this is going to evolve. But I'm positive on that one, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty positive. And I think in the German community, we are planning some things in the background, let's say. So maybe we can be able to participate in more conventions that are going to happen throughout the year.
The idea that we can get more conventions going, I think, is really comforting, I will say.
Absolutely. So, and there's one specific one that I have in mind, and that for sure. I mean, Giacomo and Ricardo, they are going to go there for sure. Spiel, but there's something else. I'm going to talk about that if we are clear on that one, if all the circumstances are clear and regulations, if that is going to work and happen. But it looks pretty good, let's say. And can I talk more, just one more thing?
No.
About
your allotted time is up. You have to purchase more with a payment plan.
Wait a second. I can pause the podcast here and just let you drop. Can't I? I can. Give me a second.
Wow. So then there was one.
Then there was one. Bye-bye.
At this point now, it's outsider only.
Outsider only.
I'm pretty sure we've made that joke before.
I think so. I can't remember when we did that.
We definitely have made that joke.
But we definitely did.
Yeah, that joke's definitely been used before.
We definitely made that one.
Oh, we need new material.
Yeah. Just one other shout out to Pandora from the German community. I know that he is doing some crazy stuff on 3D printing, actually. Can't wait to see the results. I can't tell anything yet, but it's going to be crazy and amazing, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure he's going to share this with the entire community. So Pandora, go on, go ahead. I want to see the result as fast as possible. Can't wait for it. But demoing events or playing in real life is the thing that we should aim for, right? It's a totally different game, as Drawsword said, right? As he wrote. It's another experience. It's the right experience, I think. So you have your miniatures that you maybe painted yourself. You maybe have some of the poker chips and so on.
Thanks for reminding me. I still need to redeem my code to buy poker chips.
Oh, yeah, do so, please.
Yeah, I should probably get that.
Oh,
I'm just going to do that right now.
Yeah, you can. I try to keep talking, and then you try to buy something.
Tag team.
Yeah, I have. I think I have one of the those codes as well.
Yeah, I think those go. Which, by the way, speaking of, also in the name of shameless segues and plugs, if you had a code from last year's Skyterra shards, your coupon expires in June. So make sure to go use that. Don't be like me and leave it to the last minute.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. Didn't remember about that.
Yeah, I got Gloria I'm to going take care to, of it, but yeah. I have to actually spend it.
Yeah, another shout out to Gloria.
Yes, all shout outs to Gloria, queen of the logistics.
Absolutely.
Best support person ever.
Absolutely. Talking about Italians. That was a segue, right? Talking
that was about a great Italians. Segue. Where are we going with it?
Talking about Italians, we had a World Qualifier going on starting in March, actually, but it was finished yesterday or before yesterday.
Sounds about right.
So like 29th of April or 30. Mm-hmm. The final was held between Tofone and King of Jokes. And we have a winner. Tofoni actually won the March World Qualifier on Ashen Pass. Congratulations, my friend. Congratulations. Yay.
We need one of those cheap sound effects that give the clapping.
Yes. Maybe I can find one. Yeah. And actually, we have the Embassy Ruins Clash going on, right? So first round should be over tomorrow. Maybe, yeah, tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, Tuesday, yeah. What's your first impression on your... Did you have your Clash game, actually?
I didn't play.
Oh.
I, with the three different school years that I'm working with wrapping up here this week, the next week, and then come the end of May here, I just didn't really think that I would have time to schedule around when I normally play. So I just said, what? Just not going to join this Clash.
That's sad. You make me sad.
I make a lot of people sad. Join the club.
I had my game versus Red Scare. So thanks for that game. It was really interesting and tense, actually. I was close to winning by, I think we had Left Breach, Tactician, and I don't remember the third one. I think it was... Killing the Outsider. I don't remember. Maybe that one was it. And I was close to kick his tower, but at the end, I think through that new positioning possibilities in the new 3-lane map on Embassy Ruins, it's interesting. You can see that positioning is super important, and if you somehow manage to disrupt this, let's say, or change positions, especially with the Outsider, which was the Silent Ambassador, which we both had in mind to bring.
Position and redirection is the key for that board.
It was a Tau-Lot versus Tau-Lot game. So,
I'm shocked.
Yeah, more or less Tau-Lot. I had two Kurumo heroes. I brought Akimo and Hokusai, and then Ishotosk and was it Ishotosk? Yeah, Ishotosk and I don't remember my fourth hero, but yeah, something like that. Oh no, was it Ishotosk? I remember, but I had two red heroes in them. Yeah, so it was pretty close, but in the end, Red Scare managed to win by tactician. So congratulations on that match. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had a lot of fun, as always. A nice talking, so that's what I love this community for, actually. Nice people hanging around, nice having fun in the games and talking about tactics and so on. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I hope to someday that we be able to meet in person on some bigger tournaments that are going to happen, maybe like bigger world qualifiers or final tournaments. Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, and this coming and after this month's Clash, of course, we will have the next world qualifier, as you mentioned, and that will also be on the Embassy Ruins as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I think we will have a good first impression after the Clash.
Yes.
On Embassy Ruins, how, let's say, the hero constellations are going to be, but I can think of a Kohai and Dumis being part in almost all of the team setups. I'm pretty sure about that. So that's a bit, focused on those heroes. That's a bit of a shame, I think. Mm-hmm. Okay, with the actual card set, I think this is how the actual meta is going to be on Embassy Ruins as well. So
yeah.
But yeah, it's not finished, the Clash, and we don't know all the statistics. But I'm sure that we are going to talk about that, pretty sure.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about here? I think we hit most of our bullet points.
Yeah, I think so. I think I had everything that I mentioned, everything that I had on my list. So
I'm pretty
happy here, and I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as we did here, actually. And thanks, Drawsword, for the impressions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will try to get him on, in as we mentioned, in person once the life is a little bit less hectic for him. So potentially later in the fall during the winter seemed to be a little bit more ideal timing for him. So if he's available around then, we will be certain to have him. And then I'm sure he will also have a bunch of new experiences at that time to talk about as well.
Yes, can't wait for it.
Cool. All right. This is where we'd have a sponsor plug, but we don't have any sponsors. So thank you very much for listening and have a good time. We'll see you guys later.
Bye-bye. See ya.
Outsiders only. This is SkyTerror.